Elijah. Turned out to be John the Baptist.
Well, let's see what else. And others said, well, you're Jeremiah.
And maybe Matthew said, you know, Lord, I heard a man say you're maybe one of the, maybe Hosea, Daniel, Joe, you're one of the other prophets. Now, you got to get the picture. Take a little time to read your Bible. I mean, some of you got a pretty good, dirty imagination. And it's helpful to transfer it over into righteous areas. And sit down and think righteously. Boy, I tell you, it'll build fountains of waters in your soul. And here they are. Here's Christ. And maybe they're fanning a fly and they're passing something to drink or eat. And everybody's casting their opinion. Now remember, Peter's sitting over there. That's the fellow we're tracking. All right? Look at the next verse. I get so excited I go to shaking on some of these things. Boy, I'm telling you, it's better than Reader's Digest pitching up at the front door. Ooh-wee. Listen to this. Verse 15. And he said unto them, but whom say you that I am? He said, you've seen this and you've seen that. And 3 months ago, and there's been a lot between the 3 months too that I haven't had time for. He said, that's fine. I appreciate it. He said, hey, Nathaniel, I appreciate what you told me. That's great. But he said, now, fellas, come on. He leaned over and says, who do you think I am? Who do you think? Now, remember, Peter had been falling behind him. Now, everybody says Peter wasn't a fool. He was a loudmouth. And that's not always bad. He could think. Now, notice Peter's answer. Peter's answer. Boy, telling you. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want somebody to tell me, and if you don't know, hurry over to John 1 and 45, and I want somebody to tell me what the word Christ meant to Peter. What does Christ mean? All right, turn over to John. We've forgotten it. Just keep your finger on Matthew and run to John. Turn over to John. That's the definition. That's correct exactly there. Look at John chapter 1. We'll take 41. It's also in John 2. John 1 and 41. We punched this real hard. Hope some of you would get it. We told you a good way to mark your Bible. Andrew first found his own brother Simon Peter and said unto him, we have found Messiah. And then John, for the benefit of his readers, interprets the word and says, for the benefit of my readers, Messiah interpreted means the Christ. Now go back to Matthew. One more time, let me say something to you, especially you young preachers and you who aspire to preach and teach and get in God's Word. Let me tell you something you better get from day one. You better remember that in the four Gospels, when you read the word Christ to a Jew's mind, that's rubbish. Christ means Messiah. Now you got to keep that in mind. In fact, Christos, nominative singular, Christos, was a Greek word and the Jews would spit at that. But if you said Mashiach, a Hebrew word, the Jews would say, oh, Messiah, Messiah. And here's Peter. Now, I want to tell you something. His synagogue training starts to come out. Hey, no funny farm here. No Yahoo Willy here. No silly stuff here. No big mouth here. Not a word of it. Christ said, ooh. And Peter says, you are a Messiah. Our Messiah. The promised Messiah. My Messiah. My dad Jonas' Messiah. Our Messiah. Israel's Messiah. You're the Messiah. And the greatest name in the synagogue we use, you're the Son of God. That's what Peter's saying, man. Right there. If you miss that, you missed it all. I hear these guys up making a big noise. Get the Jewish background. Peter's a Jew. He said, here's what he's saying by interpretation. I've been watching you. I've been listening to you. Now let me back up a little bit further. Oh, there's so much here in these stinking watches. I wish we could cut time off here in Radcliffe and give me about an hour and a half and I'll bust my other kidney. Then you'll have to take over for a while. All right. Now, let me point out something to you. The synagogue started about 400 years before Jesus. That's what the books say. I believe I can find the synagogue with Moses. I know I find it in the Psalm, but they say that's something else. But it says synagogue. Now, in the synagogue, I've already pointed out to you, Jews went to the synagogue. I'm back in this day. 40 years before Jesus was born, right on down till he was born, till Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, they went to the synagogue. There were synagogues all over the world. In the Megillah Tractate of the Talmud, it says there are over 428 synagogues behind the 9 miles walls of Jerusalem alone. Jerusalem alone. And Jews, the boys started at 5 years old. They didn't care if the girls went or not. After a while, most of the girls went, especially if they got married. Now, one of the messages of every rabbi in every synagogue. In those days, they didn't have progressive synagogues, liberal synagogues, free-thinking synagogues. In Ethiopia, they used to have a communist synagogue until the communists shot them all. Isn't that a joke? That really, they had a communist synagogue, and the communists went on about 12 and shot the whole lot. And they said, what'd you shoot them for? I said, if they're that stupid about communism, they can never serve the party cause. They just shot the whole crowd. I said, you can't mix religion and communism. Isn't that amazing? And in those days, they had one synagogue, and that was the synagogue. And among the many things taught, you see, especially 100 years before Christ was born, some guy would rise up and say, I'm your Messiah, follow me. And they were, you know, Hitler said, tell a lie, put some fire in it, keep telling it, and you'll have a following. He proved that worked, didn't he? Until he ended up in hell. Him and Eva blowed their brains out, and he ended up in hell. But there was always somebody saying, follow me, follow me. And the Romans or the Persians or the Syrians would watch. They say, we don't like that. He's creating problems. We're occupation forces. We want peace. And they'd come in and they'd kill the false Messiah and all the Jews that followed him. So the Sanhedrin got together. Listen, many years before Christ was born, the Sanhedrin said, look, we've got to devise a way where our people will know our Messiah when he gets here. There's so many phonies coming. And so here's what the Jews said in the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin gave the final word on everything, believe you me. The Sanhedrin said, all you Jews, you'll know our Messiah especially by two things. He will speak words like no other man has ever spoken. That's the reason they said of Jesus, no man's ever spoke like this. They're identifying him with rabbinical teaching. And they said he will perform miracles that no other man has ever performed. And they said, when somebody comes and he says things that nobody's ever heard in Jewish history, and he performs miracles like nobody's ever performed in Jewish history, that man is the Messiah. You got the lesson now? He's the Messiah. Now, Peter had been following and watching and listening, and Peter said, and I remember Rabbi Leibowitz said this, and I remember Rabbi Abraham said this, and I remember, and Peter was putting it together, putting the words together, peace be still, and the wind lays down and says, get his feet. And Peter looks at all that, and Peter's putting his words with his deeds, and they say, Christ says, who am I? And Peter says, you're our promised Messiah. And the number, one of these days we're going to get in this here in the church. Really, we are. They had, of all the names they had for him, the choice name was the Son of God. The next was the Son of David. And Peter used synagogue language, Messiah, the Son of David. You're our Messiah. Now, what was Jesus' reaction? At Princeton University, excuse me for swearing in the church. This is swearing as far as I'm concerned. At Princeton University, all the great theological minds, rat traps, whatever, all the great theological minds met at Princeton about 19 years ago, and they discussed whether Jesus knew he was the Messiah or not. If you want to roll around the floor, go ahead. Somebody roll me and I'll join you. Brother Powell, I can't roll. You roll me and I'll join. We'll all roll. All these great... And, you know, there was about 19 women sitting around there. Looked like they could shoot a bear, fight a bear with a water pistol. They looked so tough. You know, man. Whew, in fact, I photocopied the whole book and they've got the picture. And here's these great theological minds. I heard about the book. I didn't care anything about all the chicks on the roost pole. What I want to know is what all the theologians, Princeton, Harvard, Oxford, Yale, they threw them all in. Gave them a weak man. They really discussed when did Jesus... And you know the conclusion they came up with? It is a collision like none. The conclusion was a collision. They said that they believe that nowhere over... Now, they agreed that he lived. But brother, this is the hiss of the serpent folk, if you ever hear a serpent hiss. They said, sure he lived. We have no problem with that. But nowhere over his conscious life... Now, if somebody tell me what that means, unless he's walking around unconscious... Nowhere over his conscious life did he ever come to understand that he was the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. You know what I thought? I thought, what a... I took the picture and I wrote beside of it, see these verses in Matthew 16 right here. In case I'm dead and one of my grandkids read it, the verses will be right there. Now Peter said that. What did Jesus say? Did he agree with Princeton? Well, let's see what he said. Look at verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed, Makarios, you're a man who can rejoice. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Hey, that fisherman had got plugged in somewhere. Flesh and blood didn't tell you that. You know what Jesus is saying? All this other stuff I'm hearing flesh and blood talking. Theology, that's Princeton opinion. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Now, it doesn't say so, but I'm willing to lay my head down. Peter had been out some time praying. When Peter went back and sort of vacillated back, said, Lord, I'll see you week after next. I'll meet you down here at Bethel. I've got a fish for a while. That's fine, son. I'll see you when you get there. And Peter's out there pulling those fish in. He was saying, oh, God, who is this man? Oh, God, I can't stand it. I've left all. Oh, God, is he another phony? Help me, help me. That's what Peter was doing. You can believe that. And when they sat down at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said, you got this straight from my Father, which is in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I'm going to have to close here now. All of that happened right up here at Peninnas, at the foot of the mountain. But go back to our text, Matthew chapter 16. Back to our text. Look at verse 20. I'll have to go over a few verses. If I get into them, we'll never get finished with it. Now, after Peter's confession and after Jesus acknowledged what Peter said was true, then look what Jesus said in verse 20. Then charged or instructed he his 12 disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus, the what? Say it, church. The Messiah. The Messiah. If you don't ever get it like that, if you don't get it like that, you're going to miss it. He said, now look, I want to tell you one thing, fellas. Are you the Messiah? Matthew must have said, are you Messiah? Yes. And he backed off like that. And just before he's about ready to leave that mountain, Jesus said, now look, fellas, we've had a little talk. I want you to keep this to yourself. I am your promised Messiah. Now, can you imagine how they felt? You know, before my children got here last Tuesday, man, I got up from the desk, I closed my Bible, and my wife and I was out in the front. Just looking down the road. I said, what are Nicholas's doing? What are that little fellas making the door? And when they left, I watched in the rearview mirror till they went over the hill. Now, some of you haven't seen a grandbaby or a beloved child or a dear grandfather in years, and they're there, and you've got them. And Peter had heard Messiah was coming, his dad Jonah, grandfather, every Jew. And now, he's with them, Messiah. Can't you imagine? They must have sort of looked. And can you imagine how Messiah was feeling now as they were looking at Messiah? Now, keep this in mind. Jesus got up and he said, now look, don't you tell anybody I'm your promised Messiah. Don't you tell. Now, they didn't understand it all at that time. They were so boggled and bamboozled. Their minds were like that. They didn't know what to do. Now, as they were leaving Mount Peninnas, Jesus said something else to them. And then suddenly Peter becomes a monster. Notice. Look at verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and rise again the third day. As they were leaving, Jesus said, excuse me, fellas, there's one more thing I want to tell you. When this thing's over, we're all going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be delivered into the hands of the Sanhedrin and they're going to take me. Read the account in all four Gospels. John didn't give this. Matthew and Mark and Luke did. Read it in your harmony. And Christ said, they're going to crucify me and I'm going to die and rise the third day. And when Christ said that, they were thunderstruck. They knew he wasn't given the gesture. And I'm going to, he said, and the leaders of the religion of our nation will crucify me and arise the third day. And they were, see, you got to get the picture. In all synagogue teaching, not one rabbi had ever taught that when Messiah gets here, he'll die on a cross. That wasn't taught. You know that. The rabbi said when he gets here, he'll take a sword, he'll destroy the Romans, and he'll rule, and Israel will rule the world. And that's exactly what Peter and all the disciples were looking for. And here's the man saying, I'm going to be crucified on the abomination of a cross. And they can't handle it. Are you with me, folks? Some of you look pretty like you're going to die on me or what? I'm going to quit. Lord, please. Wait. But my dad told, my grandfather used to tell me that you're going to get these Edomites, these Romans out, and we're going to be the head and everybody will be the tail. And Jesus said, the cross. The cross. And don't you kid yourself, every human being knew what a cross meant in those days. Nobody needed an introduction. And out of Peter's frustration, after the beautiful confession he made, in the next breath, notice what he says. And you tell me Peter was saved? Look what he said. Verse 22. Then Peter took Jesus and began to rebuke him and say, be it far from thee, Lord, this. What's this? Dying on the cross will never be a part of your life. That's Peter. That's the guy who said, hey, folk, grow in grace. You won't muck up like I've done. Grow in grace. Be it far from you, Lord. You're not going to die on the cross. And Jesus looked at him. In fact, it says Christ turned. He's talking to his back. Christ said, get thee behind me, Satan. 3 breaths ago, he was blessed son of Barjona. 3 breaths later, he's the devil. Get out of the way, Peter. You haven't got it yet. Now I want to close with this. A man who opposes the crucifixion for our sins is a devil. That's the reason Islam is out of hell. They say Judas Iscariot died on the cross in the place of Jesus Christ. I don't care how sincere you are. If you don't believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, you'll go to hell. You'll go to hell. And here's one of the greatest men that ever lived. Due to his theology, due to his background, due to his synagogue. Oh, he got them all out after a while. After a while. But here he is. And he says, no, 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 not the cross. Oh, Lord in heaven, what are you talking about? And Jesus said, devil, get behind me. You're an offense to what I'm telling you. You see now why he said, grow up? Is it making sense, church? I'm through. See now why he said, come on, folk, grow up, grow up. Thank you. Let's stand for prayer, shall we?